Good morning, everyone. It's great to have you with us today. And if this is your first time with us, we are delighted to have you here. Please know that you're not the only one that feels somewhat new. Our church never rests. It doesn't stay the same. And we're kind of happy about that. It's a church that's always in transition. We're not the same today as we were last year. I suspect a year from now, we're not going to be the same. But that's true of each one of us, right? I don't think any of us are exactly the same today as we were 10 years ago. Just look at some photos and that'll say something to us. But we're also growing spiritually. We're growing in every way. And so we're delighted that we can have you with us. We hope that as the year goes on that you'll find this a place of welcome, of authentic love and goodness, and that you'll notice that there are people who, like you, are just wanting to grow closer to God and closer to each other. We never stay the same. We're always moving forward. So in reality, that's the scripture that we're going to be looking at today, the book of Isaiah. We're going to be looking at this book for a couple of months, not really going chapter by chapter, but looking at the overall theme. And the overall theme of Isaiah is really easy. Transition, renewal, recreation, the growth of each one of us. And it's done authentically. I watched a movie the other day called Live by Night. It was a rough movie. And it takes place in the 1920s, the rural part of the southern part of the United States. And there was a tent evangelist preaching. The evangelist was a woman, and she could gather crowds. And man, can she preach. I'm not sure who the actress was, but in the movie, she could really put it out there. It was the old hellfire and brimstone kind of preaching, but back then, that was the way it was. And she garnered a lot of interest, and a lot of people came. The man who starred in this movie, he went to this revival tent meeting, and he was kind of mesmerized. He got up the next morning, went to a local restaurant to have breakfast, and there was that woman evangelist eating her breakfast all by herself. And he went over and introduced himself to her and said, "Thank you for your words last evening." And there was something about his face that grabbed her heart because she felt his authenticity. And she asked him to join her. And the conversation became unexpected. She told the truth. She said, "You know, I've been going from state to state for a number of years now. I'm not even sure there is a God. I preach, and people come forward and their lives are changed. Mine hasn't. I'm not sure about my life, and I'm not sure even about my future. And if I ever do meet God, and if there is a God, I hope one thing more than anything else is true," she said. "I hope God is a kind God." I thought about that for quite some time. That if someone were to ask us, "What do you think about God?" would one of those definitions be, "He is kind"? In Isaiah, it gives us this picture of a God who is lonely because his people kept turning its back on God. And God, all he wanted was to love people and people to love him back. And Isaiah is one of the many prophets who prophesied about God always wanting to renew the relationship that he started from the very, very beginning. But because Israel was unfaithful, they were always exiled, very much like Adam and Eve were exiled from the garden. But what Isaiah does is he takes us back to the garden. And as Adam and Eve are removed from the garden, Isaiah gives us this picture of them one day being renewed and recreated and are returning to the garden where there's beautiful relationship, this authentic heart relationship between God and people is restored. And all throughout the Bible, there are prophets who refer to this, and it all is going to take place because of the person who was called the suffering servant in the Old Testament. Now, we know who the suffering servant is in the New Testament, and it's Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came to make all things right, and that he came to give himself as a sacrifice for all of us. That God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might be in this righteousness of God, this recreated relationship again. So it's a beautiful book, and we're going to look at some of these aspects of Israel and this relationship with God that was always at a struggle. But Isaiah is always going to give us this future event of new beginnings, that we're not always going to stay still. So Barb and I just happen to be in the stage of life where we have grandchildren, all boys, and the recent one is Nick and Carly's son, who is very much in the transition stage from remembering it just seemed like a few days ago, and of course it was a long time ago, months ago, where he would be in the crib looking at you. And then the transition started to take place. Then there would be a smile. And then getting up and being aware. And then crawling a little bit. And then being able to stand on his own. And always a happy boy. To then taking a few steps. And now running all over the place and causing havoc in the house and chasing the dogs and wanting to ride the dogs and everything else like that. Which is great to watch this transition stage. But have you ever felt like that evangelist? Here I am declaring these words, but I'm stuck. That somehow I got to the stage of just kind of being a Christian to maybe just kind of looking at other Christians to maybe taking a step, but never really got to the point of running yet. In fact, maybe going back and laying down and never really wanting to get up again because maybe not really feeling worthy. I hope God's kind is what we might sometimes say. But God is not a God that wants us to stay still. He's a God that's always moving us forward. And knowing that the future events in our lives and maybe in all of creation will be something else. Let me just give to you a couple of passages. I'll be all over the place this morning, just kind of outlining where we're going to be going. But one of the great scriptures in all the Bible is found in Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 19. And I could just imagine Isaiah getting this glimpse. And here's God saying this, "See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more." And he gives us this global picture, not just for Jerusalem, but for all of creation. And in the last chapter, 66, he repeats this in verse 22 when he says, "As the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, so will your name and descendants endure." It's this awesome something is coming. Now, we live in a world today where there's news available for all of us. So we know what's going on in most parts of the world. We know what's happening, what just happened in southern Texas with the flooding. We know what's happening right now with the hurricanes coming in. But for those of you who come from other parts of the country where you've seen disaster and you've seen devastation and you've seen hunger and you've seen things that maybe we in North America don't pay that much attention to our shame, because it's all part of God's creation that he will one day renew. But let's go back to the beginning. This symbiotic relationship, the question would be, is it? Is this relationship an honest and authentic relationship between God and yourself? Now, maybe there'd be some here today that say, I've never even paid attention. I'm not even sure I believe. I'm not sure I want to believe. I've lived my life so far this way, and I'm fine the way I am. Thank you very much. If I have to do this, then I'm going to do this, but whatever. But for others, our very breath we take is a gift given us by God. And there are those of us who believe that. And yet, even though we would believe that, sometimes we find ourselves not moving forward, but stuck, knowing that God is always wanting to move us forward because of the promise of creating something new. And if anyone can foreshadow that newness, shouldn't it be Christians? That we're not standing in one place, that we're moving forward with God's Holy Spirit bringing us eventually to what he will do and will create. And he demonstrates this all the way through the book of Isaiah. And yet there's a reminder of the difficulty that we all have sometimes in our own relationship with God. So in Isaiah chapter 1, here's the difficulty. Chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Hear me, you heavens. Listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger. But Israel, my people, they don't know me and they don't understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel. They have turned their backs on God. As if God is then going to say, serves you right. You earned it. All I've wanted to be is good to you. Here's what you've done. Forget it. And God walks away. But that's not God. He can't walk away from anyone. Because he says, I knew you before you were born. You may not know me, but I know you. And I want you, I invite you to take the next step, to come to me, to know that I'm here renewing and recreating all things because of Christ. I want to begin this relationship. So in chapter 1 of Isaiah, he says this to the people then, and I think to us today, beginning in verse 18. This is so cool. Can you imagine God saying this to you? Well, I guess we don't have to imagine. Here's what he says, I think, to us. Come, this is God speaking, so you can put your name in there. Come, John. Come, Mary. Come, Don. Come. Come now, let's sit down together. You and God. Let's reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. It's not a threat. It's God saying, here's what I offer you. And all throughout the Bible, you know, sometimes reading the Old Testament, we kind of go, oh, this is so boring. But there are nuggets that are profound. Let me just give you a couple of prophets and what God says to the people then through the prophets. I think I hear it today, and you'll catch the theme. Actually, in the New Testament, it talks about how God will remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, is exactly what the prophets said Isaiah 57, I will restore comfort to my people. Hosea chapter 6, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. Joel 3, I will restore the fortunes of Judah. Amos 9, I will restore David's fallen shelter. Nahum 2, the Lord will restore the splendor of Jacob. Zephaniah 2, the Lord their God will renew and restore them. Zephaniah 3, I will give you honor and praise among the people of the earth, and I will restore you. Zechariah 9, even now I will restore you as twice as much as you had. In Zechariah 10, I will restore you because I have compassion on you. Do you get the idea that God's into restoration? He's just talking about renewing and restoring all of creation, and more importantly, even all of us. And so he gives us this glimpse, and this is a brief sermon today. He just gives us this glimpse. And I'd like you to use your imagination with me and watch this. Sometimes the world just seems like there's so much conflict, there's so much hurt, there's political trouble, whether it be from North Korea or whatever, and whether it's just dominating powers and conflict and all kinds of things. And it's so interesting to notice over the years that many countries that at one time were communist now aren't, and other places that they said were so wonderful and so free sometimes become kind of power hungry. And it's just interesting how nations change over the years. But God doesn't change. God is for the renewal of all of us, the renewal of his creation. And he talks about the whole world coming together as one because of Christ. Now, saying all that, let me just create this picture in Isaiah 2. It really is so cool. And you have to use your imagination, at least I did. He said, this is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw. He had a dream. I saw this concerning Judah and Jerusalem, or in today's aspect, all of us in Christ. He says this, in the last days, Hebrews chapter 1 says that we've been in the last days since Jesus. In the last days, I saw the mountain of the Lord's temple, and it will be established as the highest of mountains. It will be exalted above the hills. Now watch this. And all nations will stream to it. It's going to stop there. Sometimes you've noticed the stories years ago of Noah's Ark, and sometimes you watch children's stories, videos, or even in books where this massive ark is built and there's a stream of animals lining up to get into this ark. I wonder if that's symbolic for what God was saying, that there's this stream of people that God has called. And you and I are part of that stream of people. It says, it will be exalted and all the nations will stream to it. Stream to a brand new life, a brand new existence, a brand new world, a brand new recreation. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. In this beautiful passage, they will beat their swords into plowshares, not fighting anymore, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Won't it be great? And then he says, come, house of Jacob. I think maybe some pretty good symbolism for today. Come, all of us in God. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. So there's a challenge for all of us. The challenge is, if God's all about recreation and recreating all things, you and I being part of all of those things, there's an invitation to us What do we do about this? The one who wrote this book was given an invitation by being asked a question. Isaiah was asked a question by God. And please hear me if you don't hear anything else. The same question that Isaiah was asked of God is God asking us that same question. It's found in chapter 6, and it's marvelous. It says this, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces. With 2 they covered their feet. With 2 they were flying, and they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of its glory.'" That'd be awesome to see. "At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined.'" It was too devastating to see. "For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Meaning this, Isaiah was a preacher, and he preached about God, and God told him the words to say about a renewal of all things, a recreation. And like that woman evangelist who was sitting at a table and shared heart to heart with a man that she first met, she said to him, "I'm not sure. I'm not sure that everything I've been saying was true. I'm not sure that the very one I've talked about all my life, I'm not sure that I even believe in him. But if he is real, I hope he's kind." Isaiah had been talking about God all his life, and now he caught a glimpse of something that very few people have ever caught a glimpse of. And now he's sure. And because he's sure, he's devastated. Because all of his life he's been talking about God. And now he sees him, and he said, "Oh, I've come up short. Oh, I've come up short. This is God. This is God. I can't even explain what I'm seeing. Oh, I've come up so short." Bible doesn't say it, but I'd like to suggest that God's smiling at him because God is kind. And watch what happens. "My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt,'" what he was just feeling, "'your guilt is taken away. Your sin doesn't exist. It's all atoned.'" How would you like it if God said to you, "You have no sin anymore. It's atoned. And because of Jesus, it has been atoned." "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying," question for Isaiah, question, please be selfish for just a moment and see yourself in his shoes, God speaking to you and to me. "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" That's the question. "Donnie, do you want to stay the way you are? I have things I want to accomplish. Will you go for me? Will you go for me? Will you speak for me?" Isaiah said, "Wait a minute, I've been speaking for you." No. "Now that you've seen me, will you go?" I was overwhelmed when I read this passage, even though I've read it a zillion times, where it finally struck me that what God is saying to us through Isaiah is, here I am. He's saying to us, will you go? And Isaiah is saying, I'm right here. I want to go. You send me. One of the last things Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark is, go into all the world and preach the good news. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that you come here today and I'm asking you to go out into the world and start knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus, because you may not even be sure where you are with Jesus. What I'm trying to suggest to all of us is, as we begin this series in Isaiah, is that God's interested in each one of us just as he was in Isaiah. And there is a commission for all of us that somehow that we use the gifts and talents that God has given us by glorifying God and helping other people every single day. Not necessarily asking us to knock on people's doors and having a Bible study with them, although that'd be awesome. He really wants us to be who we are, created in the image of God, to know him better, to not stay where we are, but to serve the world. Jesus came in the world not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And sometimes what we do with our life speaks louder than our words. I encourage all of us today to get a picture of who we are in the eyes of God, loved and adored, asking us the question of, will we go for him? Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.